You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
And these teams, while they want to win, they're not coaching and playing to not win. They're coaching and playing to win with the big picture in mind.
Go to Mike Gill. We got Mike Gill in the green room right now. He's going to join us here on Birds 365. The great Mike Gill from 97.3 ESPN down the shore. You can follow him at Mike Gill Show. Subscribe to his YouTube channel at Mike Gill Show. Listen to him at 97.3 ESPN and 97.5 The Fanatic on the weekends. Mike, welcome to the program, brother. How you doing this Wednesday morning?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad to see everybody's pumped up about this 3-0 team.
It is funny.
Like, well, what do you make of it, Mike? I mean, you know, the two star offensive players after the game are like, "Hey, I think we gotta let our killers kill a little bit more." You know, do you agree with them, or do you think they should not listen to the players? And maybe there is some truth to that. They are 19-1 in their last 20. How do you see it after that game?
Yeah, they're walking kind of a tightrope here of having success by doing it away, and then having the players noticing, hey, teams are adjusting to what we've done well, so then we need to possibly tinker things as well. The formula isn't always going to work. This has been their formula over the success here, but teams are starting to adapt a little bit. They're playing you differently, and one of the things that got them into this mode, if you remember, at the start of last year when they went 2-2, they turned the ball over consistently. Jalen kept turning the ball over. We would have conversation every week. It was almost a fait accompli that he was going to turn the ball over. So they tried to get him out of that, and it turned into what went on to this run that they're on. Well, now teams are adjusting to that, and the Eagles have to do it as well. I think we saw in the second half, you know, them basically probably, I would imagine, say, hey, coach, we need to kind of open it up a little bit more. This is what they're doing. It's not easy to just step into a job of being a play caller and think three games into it, voila, you're going to be masterful at it. Look what happened in Detroit. I mean, their first game, people were talking about their offense, how all of a sudden they were the worst offense in football because they lost Ben Johnson. And then they, you know, they scored 50 the next week. And then last week, they didn't look so bad. I mean, yeah. You've got to kind of have to work your way into this role, get the rhythm, get the feel, get the, each game has its own, you know, rhythm and feel to it as well. So like just walking in as being a masterful play caller, it's going to take, you know, I remember the Brian Johnson year, that guy got fired and we would say, you know, that's a top 10 offense in the league. And and it looked like shit. Yeah. So I would imagine at times.
Every offense, even Detroit's offense, like shit at times, believe it or not.
I would imagine that, you know, this is going to be it's a fluid situation. And every week is different. We know that. It's a week-to-week league. It's like we want them to come out and score 38 points every single week because, and this is the interesting part about the conversation, right? We want them to score 38 points every single week because they have the personnel to do it. Like, they could roll out of bed with that offense and score 38 points a week. We in our minds believe that, and they probably could. And that's what frustrates us. And look, we're always looking for something to bitch and moan about. But as John said, when you win in the NFL, it is hard, man. It is not an easy thing to do. And they did not play their best football for 3 weeks in a row and beat, you know, two pretty quality opponents, we think, and then the Cowboys.
Yeah, by the way, you know, I think, and I'm not, because you're just pulling the number out of the air, 38 points a game. Like, yeah. The highest scoring offense in NFL history did not reach 38 points per game. Like, I think the mentality of what people envision, it's like the highest scoring offense, it's awesome that you picked that number of all time, was the Broncos, the Peyton Manning Broncos, that scored 606 points, which averaged 37.9 points per game. So that's the best it's ever been. So that was a phenomenal number you pulled. But if people expect that, Mike.
38 was the number that the Lions scored the other night, I guess, was in my head. Yeah. They scored 38 points. Right.
The Lions last year, one of the greatest offenses I've ever seen. They are the fourth highest scoring offense of all time. They scored 33.2 points a game. The greatest show on turf, which to me is the best offense of all time, is 11th. They scored 33.8 points per game. Like, I don't know where these expectations come from. The insanity of they should do this, they should do that. They should score 35 points a game. They don't play that way, number one.
Well, that you say they don't play that way. I think people want them. It's the funny part is, how many times, John, in the history of you covering this team, you and I have been talking for about 20 years, it feels like now, and we would see some guy standing outside the NovaCare complex with a sheet that says, run the ball.
Run the ball.
And now they're acquiescing to that guy, and now he's ripping his sheet up and saying, I want you to throw the ball more. this is bonkers.
I mean, to be fair, it's not – well, I get it, the points conversation. It's not really about the points for me. I mean, get your playmakers involved. You got great playmakers. If you get A.J. involved more, Saquon Barkley's going to have an easier time. I think you got too many – you know, guys, we had minus one passing yards at the half. It's a game, but, I mean, holy shit. You know, I don't think I'm asking for too much to say they could get these guys more involved.
Well, I feel like I agree with that, Xander, is that I feel like they kind of have been – they got stuck in their ways a little bit here, and teams are saying, well, you're not going to do that to – especially the Rams. The Rams got blitzed for 200 yards in both games last year by Saquon Barkley. I think they had some pride to say, you're not doing that again. And you know what? The Eagles said, no, we're going to try to do it to you again. So they're saying, just because you're taking it away from us doesn't mean we're not going to try it. So they did it for a half, and they said, okay, now we have to get out of this. And they move to the other direction here. But I think the Eagles have kind of got stuck in their ways with their offense because it has been working. And they're saying, look, we know we can throw the ball. We've seen it. We've showed you. Washington, NFC Championship game, Kansas City, Super Bowl, Pittsburgh, regular season. If you want us to throw it, we can, but we want to be safe with the football. Our formula has been no turnovers, controlling the narrative of the game, and then pounding you out late in the game, and then getting these big runs as the back breaker. So that has been the way they've gone. How much longer can they keep using the same floor plans? You know, there's a reason there's architectures different over the years. You know, at one point you look at that thing and you're like, okay, we got to kind of have to modify something here. And maybe the Eagles are on the fluidity here of modifying the floor plan of what their offense looks like, because I don't think these teams are going to just say, hey, Saquon, you want to rush for 2,000 yards again? Have at it.
Yeah, well, number one, and I said this before you came on, so I don't know if you heard it in the green room, Mike, but I think there's a disconnect of what opposition defenses are doing to the Eagles early in the season. And I think the assumption is because of what Saquon did last year, everything's about stopping Saquon. But first of all, two things with the Rams. Nobody played more heavy boxes against the Eagles last year than the Rams. It was over 80%. And it didn't work. So, number one, the offensive line isn't playing as well. Saquon's not playing as well. They actually played less heavy boxes yesterday than they played in both games last year. Not on Sunday. But to me, the most important question Kevin got yesterday, Kevin Petullo, was about the blitz rate. And it's been off the charts over the first three games. And number one, he agreed with it. And he said, I think in the first half of the season, always people have all offseason a game plan for you. They start looking for ways to stop you. We played all these teams multiple times, the teams they played early in the season. They know us really, really well. And so they're just looking for stuff. They're wanting to try new things and seeing what they can do against us. I think that's a little piece of it. And I think just by nature, if you look around the league, I think pressure's up a bit in general. So it's a league-wide thing as well, not just Eagles.
Well, but I will say, I want to interject with this real quick. Britton Covey was on with me at the Super Bowl in, I want to say, Vegas. That was the year that the Eagles fell apart, right? 2023.
Yes.
And one thing that he said that really kind of sticks into my head for this season was they went to the Super Bowl in 2022. They got off to a 10-1 start, but he had felt that teams had started to kind of figure them out and that they didn't evolve anything. They just basically rolled back the same offense as the year before and that it was very predictable. And that by the time they got to the, you know, we're in like the preseason portion of the season right now. By the time you got to the November portion of the season where there was tape on you from the year before and then that first half of the year, that teams had really figured out what you were doing well and kind of, you know, really frustrated them. And, you know, he thought it was a big problem for them that they did not evolve the offense. And you're wondering, is this Kevin Petula offense the same offense as all the previous incarnations of?
Well, that's the thing. It's always, it's very similar. So yes. By no means, like, things, two things can be true at the same time. The Eagles, and I've said it for, and people get mad when I say it, ironically, it is very predictable.
Yeah.
It is conservative by the thought, the conventional wisdom of what conservative is, which is run first in a pass first league. They're conservative by nature from that perspective. All of that is true. And yet I always bring up, you know, Jimmy Johnson, always on the program, friend of Cilio's. His offense was pretty stinking simple, which you can ask him and he'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And nobody could stop it.
The Lions on, was that a Monday night game? The Lions Rams, or was that Sunday night?
Yeah, no, that was a Monday night. Yeah. Lions,
okay. Ravens?
Ravens
game the other night. The Lions ran for 206 yards between the tackles. 206 yards between the tackles. I mean, hey, this is like everybody in the that's watching in the comments today that played any sort of football. It was like 2-4 power. There you go. You're getting the ball between the center and the guard, and you're running forward. Yep. They ran for 206 yards. Like, we talk about coaching in this league, and I feel like the play callers, the league was the National Football League was a professional league for a reason. Like you, who talked about this? Was it Fangio talked about how like they're grown men, the offensive linemen? It's like,
yeah.
The league is supposed to be for grown men. The league went and got itself to the college level, and it brought these college offenses here and pretended they were college football, and they're doing all this like crazy college stuff that is all of a sudden these teams are starting to figure out these college offenses, and they're like, okay, well, now we have to kind of switch back to kind of the roots of football, which is power football. You're seeing teams last year sign running backs, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. They all got paid big money. People are we saw Austin Jeanty get drafted in the top 10 this year, a running back. So people are kind of morphing back to the running back a little bit here. So it'll be interesting. We're kind of in this dynamic of change in the league. Yeah. Is it going to take? Is it going to work? You know, it's very intriguing to see all kind of unfold here.
To your point, and the NFL would never allow this to happen, but one of the things I loved about the XFL was that they would mic the coaches. And coaches don't want that because, you know, they don't want that. But in the XFL, they're looking for any viewer, blah, blah, blah. So I just remember Hal Mumme, longtime coach for people that remember, longtime college coach, very good offensive coach, very good reputation. So he was the offensive coordinator, I think, of Dallas or somebody. And they had him mic'd up. And Dallas was going on this drive, to your point about the running, Mike, and running the same play. And they were moving the football, and they were running, and they were gashing him. And this was Hal Mumme's play call, like four plays in a row. Run, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Yo. That was his play call, four plays in a row.
It's funny because we were sitting here on Sunday watching the game, and I used to, when I called play-by-play, one of the color analysts that I used to do the game with, he would say, Mike, you know what play that's called? It's called again. You run it again until they stop you.
Exactly.
And my dad says to me, my dad looked at me, he was like, you know, that's that again play that your color guy used to always talk about in the football games. Yeah, run it again.
And I thought that was so great because it gave, but nobody watches it. Nobody was watching the XFL, but it gave you I think it would have educated so many fans who think this is brain surgery.
Well,
like if you got something, you know, Penei Sewell tape from that game is just absurd. You know, that's like an NBA guy scoring 60. He was having that type of game, just pancaking people and all that stuff. But,
I know that, as fans, most of the time, 99.9, you watch the game wanting to win in that moment by any means necessary. And these teams, while they want to win, they're not coaching and playing to not win. They're coaching and playing to win with the big picture in mind, like setting plays up 3 weeks down the road. Or I don't want to use this play this week because I want to use it against a defense that I think this play matches up better against. So I'm not saying they're holding their, you know, their cards close to the vest to and not trying to win games, but I don't, you know, they don't have everything in their arsenal every single week. They practice a bunch of plays, and these are the plays we're going to utilize in this week's game here. And some people would say, well, why can't you just run a play that wasn't on your, like, in your game plan?
And that's another thing. People do not do that. They do not do that.
Right. It's like, well, we didn't practice this play all week long, so we're not going to call it.
I was trying to explain that yesterday. I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. The assumption, because you had this first half, second half mentality that the Eagles changed their – they ripped up the game plan – and they just ran a bunch of plays.
Did you hear what Peyton Manning said about halftime?
Oh, yeah. I bring it up all the time. Yeah, he said it for years. Vic Fangio just said it 2 weeks ago.
I know.
Don't Peyton listen Manning to me. Said, don't
the only, thing,
to
I ever did it, the only thing I ever did at halftime was eat oranges.
Yeah, and take a leak. He did say that previously. You go to the bathroom, you have a couple of orange slices, and you come out. And Vic just said it 2 weeks ago. He's like,
Vic said, by the time I get off the elevator, I got to go right back up.
But it's the most overrated thing in football, halftime adjustments,
which is funny though, because I think Vic's defense has only given up like 14 points.
But he's adjusting constantly.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it is funny because the second half defenses have been really good.
But to that point, if people want to believe halftime adjustments are meaningful,
I don't. I was just adding the context.
I can't help them. You know, I mean, you hear it. Forget about me. You're hearing it from Vic Fangio. You're hearing it from maybe the greatest regular season quarterback of all time from a consistency standpoint. I mean, listen to them.
Absolutely. Hey, and listen, I think the Eagles offense right now, you know, the frustrating part is this. I say this all the time on my show, which is if you put this offense in, say, Cincinnati, and you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and this offensive line and Dallas Goedert and Saquon Barkley and Joe Burrow's the quarterback, they're not going to run the ball as much as they do here. And you would probably see some high-flying, crazy offense.
Oh, yeah, you would.
That everybody would be talking about. And that's where I think people are perplexed at times of like, man, you have all this talent. Like, if you put this team with Jared Goff's offense, the funny part is we don't perceive Jared Goff to be this great quarterback, but he's pretty darn freaking good. All right. The guy is very precision.
Good.
Right. If you put this offense in LA with the Rams, with Matthew Stafford, and now Stafford missed a lot of throws the other day. He might be declining a little bit, but he's still a pretty damn good, quarterback. If you gave this group of guys to pretty much any quarterback in the league, you would think that team would probably build it around the receivers. The Eagles have chosen to build it more around the quarterback, what he's strong at, and the running back. And that means
they really built it. To be fair, they really built it around the offensive line.
That too. Well, and that is the thing. I said all of last year, they have Brown, they have Smith, they have Barkley, they have Hurts. But the real star of this offense is the offensive line. That's who the star is. And the Eagles finally acquiesced to that by building the offense around them. Now, the question can be asked, is that offensive line having as good of a big of an impact this year as they've had? You know, one of the things that won me over about Sirianni was all the way back in his first year when they tried to pass, and they couldn't pass for shit. So they said, you know what? Let's just run the ball. They ran themselves into the playoffs because he decided to change the offense because his offensive line was so good. And here we are 5 years later. He still has this great offensive line. And he says, that's what got me my first taste of the playoffs. I'm not getting away from that. And that's one of the reasons why I think they are so, and smartly, by the way, they have one thing that no one in this league has, the asset of the offensive line. The teams cannot prepare an offense the way they do because their offensive lines stink. So that is one thing that is so different about them from all these other teams that we see.
Do they look the same to you, though, right now, Mike?
Well, the offensive line, I think, is having, you know, Dickerson's not himself. Nope. I think that's, he's not nearly as dominant.
I think that's the biggest issue.
I don't know. I think it's impacting Cam, too, a little bit. I mean, I don't know how.
Well, Cam had a bad game against the Rams. Everybody had a bad game except
for. Well, and you have a new right guard, Steen. I don't know if he's.
Yeah, he's graded out higher than the other two on the interior.
Well, you know, to be fair, I think Matt Pryor, according to Pro Football Focus, had one of the higher grades on the offensive line.
That's so true. Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of that.
Well, he only played like 14 snaps.
Yeah.
They weren't so good.
I know. That's what I said, Mike.
Well, the thing is, that's what I think people don't understand. Like, they're not weeding the bad snaps. In other words, you know, if you have nine snaps where you do what you're supposed to do and five snaps where you shit the bed, they're not overweighting it. It's like you have nine good plays and you have five bad plays.
But I think you got to keep that and but that in. You got Dickerson probably not at the same level. You've got a new right guard, so maybe there's not as much, you know, simpatico nature in that side. You've had Lane Johnson go out for a full game for the most part over there. So you've had situations where the line is not the same. It is not, clearly it's not as dominant and impactful as it was a year ago. And couple that with teams are probably showing you different looks that you didn't see as much of last year.
Yeah, they're blitzing from the buses, which I think everybody's got to that point. That's the issue. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? And I don't think we still have the answer because the Rams' biggest mistake on Sunday was easing off. And they thought they won the game at 26-7.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they shipped away their playing. And things start to look better for the Eagles. So it works both ways, but they have to figure out this blitz issue because until they figure it out, and you got Todd Bowles coming up.
Yeah, well, John, I mean, doesn't it feel simple of like how to stop it, how to make them pay like they did in the second half?
One thing that I'm not a big fan of what they tried to do a couple times, especially in the first half, is you're setting up pass plays for Saquon Barkley, who is not a great receiver. So teams are trying to get him off.
By the way, say that again, Mike. What did you say? What did you just say?
Saquon Barkley, not a great receiver. We saw the one game they lost last year against the Falcons was a catch that every human being makes. And he dropped a pass very similar to that on Sunday, where it's just a pass right over out of the backfield, curling out, and he just drops it.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have great hands. He's not a fluid receiver. Now, if you get him the ball in space, it's a great play to have him because you want him in the open field making people miss. The problem
I was just joking because I got shit on an entire offseason for pointing that out to people who thought he was going to be the slot receiver. You didn't need a slot receiver, Mike, because Saquon could be a receiver from the slot. Anyway.
Well, I would like to see what happens here when Shipley comes back, if they can utilize him more in the pass.
Yeah, I think he'll be back this week.
If those plays calls that Barkley was getting these swing passes and stuff thrown to him, you might have a little something different. And then you can't be as, now, and that's not to say that people are just going to keep letting you throw the ball to Barkley, but Barkley has to show that he can catch the ball with consistency.
Yeah, and I think overall, just that this is where I think, you know, I get it. They want to play the way they want to play, but you still have to be more versatile. You have to show teams you can beat them in more ways. You get all these blitzes. John gave the percentage, 48% blitz. All right, well, you're going to see that until you prove you can throw the ball effectively when they do blitz it. They did that in the second half. I think they got to do more of that moving forward and take back control, because I don't think they could just come in and say, hey, we got this offensive line and Saquon Barkley, let's just play this way. But it is what it is. We'll see how they keep moving forward. Mike, I got to ask you, CJ Gardner-Johnson released yesterday. Yeah. After
Hashtag no.
But what the heck happened? I mean, three games. I mean, I know he's a headache, but, you know, 60% of Jacob people on the poll,
CJ poll
said, bring him back, Mike. They want to bring him back.
I saw my social media timeline yesterday, and I couldn't believe how many people were like, make it happen, Hallie, make the call. First off, I think you can't bring him back until after the fourth week, right?
Isn't that
the rule there? That's one. Well,
I'm trying to clarify that.
He's vested. I don't know. It's confusing, man, the NFL rules.
Okay, well, a couple things here. One, obviously the Texans saw what the Eagles had gone through. Was a malcontent who wasn't happy with his role in that defense. He didn't like the way they were using him, and he was letting people know, as the team is 0-3, he's getting more and more vocal about the role that he does not like. Now, when the team's winning, you don't hear this stuff as much. But at the end of the year, when the team wins a Super Bowl and they're like, you know what, I don't need this headache another full season, we'll move on from this. The Texans got the full, you know, brigade in the first 3 weeks. Why? Because they're 0-3, so he's letting it all out. So if the Eagles were having a major problem at safety, then I think you could make an argument to like, yeah, maybe you kick the tires just because you're struggling so bad. You got a young kid there who, quite frankly, he's made some plays. You're not having conversations, at least I'm not aware of every week saying, oh, man, this safety spot's a disaster. It's not like 2 years ago where you had to go out and get Kevin Byard because Edwards and the other guy from Tampa were so bad.
He got hurt, but
right. But I'm saying that year
to your point, though, Mike, you're right. We haven't come out of the three games like, oh shit, we better address the safety or it's going to be a big problem. I mean, I think it's been fine.
And you have a young player. You don't want to stunt that young player's growth right now. The Eagles, you know, give it, you know, to their credit, they've replaced what, five players on defense. They have the youngest defense in the NFL right now, and they're growing. Remember last year for the first 4 weeks of the season, their defense didn't look like, you know, a top five defense in the league. They ended up being the best defense in the league by the end of the year, but that progressively got better and better and better. You don't want to bring a guy in here to now I know he knows the defense and all that stuff, but the young safety, you know, Makuba's, you don't want to stunt his growth. Now I know he's not getting every single snap here, but I would imagine if CJ Gardner-Johnson comes back, he's going to want every single snap. So to me, that's a hashtag no.
Yeah. Hashtag no. I like it.
Hashtag that's mine. Mike stole that from me, but
well, we laugh all the time because, you know, John, we used to talk every single day, and anytime someone would get cut, I would ask John on the show, any big name veteran or former Eagle, a former Eagle. Now listen, he's a former Eagle who has connections to a team that won the Super Bowl, so I do understand the allure of saying let's get this guy back, but I don't really think you need Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back here. You're not having major issues at that position.
No, you are not. All right. Heat, we're acclimated, Mike. Who's going to win the football game? The House of Horrors, Raymond James Stadium.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Eagles, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Todd Bowles owns Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the football game?
Well, I know Tampa's got Mike Evans out, but it looks like Godwin might come back and play for them. Yeah, I love their offense. You know, it's similar to like
Vic what loves the Eagles Baker have. Too, man. He was really gushing.
Vic loves Baker, but their offense is similar to what the Eagles have. They have a group of guys, Baker, Godwin, Irvin, Evans when he's healthy, that have all played together for, you know, a couple of years now. So they have that going for them. Coupled with the fact that you're going on the road, you're finding these ways to win. I feel like Tampa right now is one of these teams that's also finding ways to win, though. They are the only team in history, since the merger anyway, that have won the game in the final minute of all three games for them. So both these teams are kind of scratching and clawing, But I feel like the difference is them being at home, the heat, all that stuff. So I think Tampa probably – look, you got to lose one somewhere in here. So this would seemingly be the spot that you would lose the game. So I would not be shocked if I was here last week, next week, and we're talking about what happened. Why didn't they do this?
I'm not picking the Eagles to lose till they actually lose, Mike. That is my my platform right now. Till they actually lose a game, I'm not picking them to lose. Though I will say this about Chris Godwin, because very good receiver, but you know, he hasn't played in
he missed 12 games. Ibuka has been awesome for them.
He's been awesome. Well, I don't think you're going to see the Chris Godwin his first game back. I think there's got to be a little bit of a ramp up period.
Hey, listen, and Kevin Betula's got to figure out a way to defuse a Todd Bowles defense that you've had all sorts of problems with over the years. Now, the thing that they did win down there 2 years ago, 25-11. They basically
they destroyed them down there.
They beat that. That was one of their best wins of that 2023 season. You had that win, which was they keep playing this team like in the first 4 weeks of the season down there.
I mean,
can you give me a December game in Tampa so I can get down there and enjoy it?
What do you think about going down a day early to acclimate to the heat that Vic blew up yesterday? He was like, yeah, come on, you're not acclimating. You're not taking a pill and acclimating to the heat.
I agree. You go down to the heat and you sit on a beach for one day. It doesn't mean the next day it feels any better. It's still hot as hell, especially down there. It's like suffocating sometimes when you're not. It's not like I'm here.
You got a lot of clear water experience, so you know what it's like down there.
Yeah, it's not here like where it's like someone takes Saran wrap and puts it around your face. It's just like hot. You're just like annoyed like how hot it is. You're like, oh, man, because the sun, it just feels like it's literally like you can give the sun a high five.
Yeah, going to be good. Mike, good stuff, brother. Final question for me real quick before you run. Is Kelee Ringo going to play this weekend? And if he does, is it going to be better or worse than a Dory Jackson spin?
It's interesting that they asked about Ringo, and he said, like, you know, you might see him. I would not assume that he's, like, getting ready to get some reps here. I think, you know, Bennett did play a little bit last week. I think that's because
Adoree got hurt.
They might both not play Adoree and Shakurian. That's the problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think if Bennett is healthy enough to play, he probably – I don't know, John, how you feel about this. You talk to these guys more, but I feel like they essentially want him to try to be the guy, and he just hasn't been healthy, and he just got here. Like, remember last year, we keep kind of comparing his situation to Cooper's, where, you know, Cooper was hurt, and then 4 weeks in, you would think by the fourth week that Bennett now kind of has his footing under him, but then he keeps getting hurt, and he's a guy similar to Avante Maddox. You seemingly can't trust him because he's always hurt. Maddox's problem is when he played, he was pretty good. He just was always hurt until he got to the point where he was hurt so much that he no longer could play at the same level. Bennett just keeps getting hurt too. That was one of his problems out in Vegas. He was constantly hurt out there. He's a smaller guy. By the way, that Isaiah Rodgers would look nice wearing midnight.
Yeah, how about that? The first perfect grade in PFF history, whatever that means.
But nobody Ringo, I think Ringo would be an option here, obviously, if you're not healthy. I don't think if you're healthy, though, I think it's evident they don't want to play him unless they have to. Now, is he one of these guys that is a gamer that needs to be in live reps as opposed to practice?
I don't know about that.
If Kelee Ringo plays, I'll be excited to see it. Throw him in the deep end, see what he does.
Yeah, it can't be much worse. I agree. We'll see what happens. Mike, good stuff, man. Appreciate you joining in. Make sure you guys follow him at Mike Gill Show. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. Listen to him at 97.3 ESPN and 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike, good stuff, brother. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, buddy. All right,
see you.